Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Are you a fair weather fan? Do you love a good bandwagon? Well, Ireland might have missed out in the World Cup dream, but the tournament does start tonight. So what exactly do we need to know to bluff our way through it? Tanya Sweeney, Irish Independent columnist, is with me on the line today. Because Tanya, in fairness to you, you remind me a little bit of myself to some extent in that you're proud to admit that you love a good bandwagon.
I hold my hands up and say I am one of the worst. I'm sure like the football fans that go, you know, to the terraces week in, week out, hate people like me altogether.
Yeah, and me. Because, yeah, I'm in the same club
as me. Yeah, and you. Yeah, because what we do, I'm a bit like this with the Olympics as well, you know. I basically jump on the bandwagon, as you say, and start piping up in the pub as though I personally invented the offside rule, you know. And I'm sitting there, you know, with my brothers normally, you know, and I'm like, pass it, you know, and I'm doing all the 4-3-3 formations, never work for them. Like all the banter, you know, that kind of, I haven't an actual rasher is what I'm talking about. But I love the theatre and I love the kind of camaraderie and all that. I couldn't be doing with it now with every day of the week, you know,
no.
That kind of way. But every 4 years, it just feels really special. I think it's because it's kind of, you know, the nationalism thing and the patriotic thing, the country thing, you know, like it's a huge deal. And I think that's what makes it really special. And yeah.
I have no problem admitting, Tanya, that I just love a good day out. I love a day out, whether it's a trip to Croke Park, whether it's off to the Aviva Stadium, whatever it involves, if it's to go out to watch the World Cup. I love the event and being part of the event. It's probably FOMO. That's probably what I have, really.
There's a bit of FOMO. I mean, it is a kind of, I like the raised stakes. There's nothing I like more than when there's a penalty shootout or something like that, because I'm mad for the drama. And I mean, obviously, I think when you're, you know, really, really supporting your team, the last thing you want is for them to go out on a penalty shootout, you know? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I was up in the Swan pub watching the last match, and you saw me in the thick of it all, having an absolute ball, roaring at the TV and talking about the poor disappointment for the Irish team.
And
it was terrible. Like, I haven't
a clue. I call myself Saint and Greasy because I'm literally carrying on like I'm the pair of them, you know. But then I remember for that football, that Irish match that you're talking about, I started this kind of running joke going, he's cute. And my brothers were literally about to
go nuts,
fling me out onto the street.
Yeah. Well, another man going kind of nuts here, the two of us at the moment, is our own Phil Egan from Off the Ball, who's with us in studio. You hate people like us.
Ah, no, not at all.
No. You can admit it though.
No, absolutely. Like, look, I get it. It comes along once every 4 years. It's a massive tournament, but there's 48 teams in this one. There's no way people know everything about the 48 teams. So I think the excitement, even for football fans that watch a lot of these teams, there's teams at this World Cup where we don't know much about. And that's exciting in itself, where you could sit down and watch a team and think, geez, he's a good player. And then a couple of years later, he turns up in a league that you're more familiar with. And you're like, I saw him play at the World Cup a few years ago.
I watched him. Yeah, I supported him.
So no, there's a lot to take in.
We kind of look for that X Factor story as well.
There's going to be a lot of X Factor. There's obviously, because the majority of the tournament is in the US, obviously it's going to be in Canada and Mexico as well. But the Americans do things big and better in their eyes. So 48 teams, biggest ever World Cup.
Right. Tanya, you agree, or you're happy to admit, you know, sweet.
I know nothing about anybody.
About anything that's going on.
But it doesn't stop me from blathering on as though I've birthed half of the, you know, Croatian team. Like, you know, I'm really insufferable. And I, if you're next to me in the pub in the next couple of weeks, I do apologise.
Yeah,
because
move.
But I just start piping up. And I don't know where it comes from, because I know absolutely nothing about anything.
Well,
you know?
To be fair to Phil Egan, he's put a few notes together to help you and I and the rest of the Lunchtime Live bluffers out there blag our way through this World Cup. So what do we need to know, Phil?
Okay, I mentioned the 48 teams. Okay?
Right.
So that's the biggest ever. I mentioned the three hosts, US, Canada and Mexico. First time it's been held in three countries. 39 days. This is day one of 39.
Sorry, the US, Mexico and...
And Canada.
Oh, sorry, Canada.
Yeah, they're all going to host. Tonight's game is in Mexico City, the Azteca Stadium, which is one of the most famous venues in world football. That's where the 1970 World Cup final was.
That's a good nugget, Tanya, now to throw that in.
Pelé was part of that Brazil team that won the World Cup. 1986 also was held at that stadium. Maradona's Argentina won the World Cup that year. So Pelé and Maradona have both won World Cups at this venue that the first game is tonight. It's also the same venue where Maradona famously handled the ball against England in 86. Right. And he scored the goal of the century, as it's called. Which, if he did that now, it wouldn't be allowed. Right. Because VAR would rule it out.
Yeah.
VAR just spoils everything.
You'll hear me quoting that now at some point as well.
VAR.
Yeah. A few other things to watch out for as well is...
Sorry, who's playing tonight?
Tonight it's going to be Mexico and South Africa.
Right, okay.
So,
what are their chances?
Well, Mexico, because they get to play in Mexico City, they are used to the conditions there where the altitude is an issue. Now, South Africa would be able to say that they're used to altitude as well in certain parts of that country. This is also... the fixture that opened the 2010 World Cup, which was in South Africa, when they were the host, they played Mexico, which ended in a 1-1 draw. So that's the first game tonight. And then they just keep coming thick and fast. It's going to go all the way until the 19th of July. But there is, as I said, 48 teams. So you have 12 groups of four.
Right.
And the top two go through automatically into the last 32. And then with the other 12 groups, you get the 8 best placed third teams from them. So that makes it up. It's a very bloated World Cup in the sense that usually we were ending up with a last 16.
Mm.
But now, like, we're going into last 30.
Are you still with us, Tanya?
Just about, yeah. My money's on Mexico, so.
Why?
Just the altitude.
Well, if they do actually play, if they play a lot of their games in Mexico, that's definitely an advantage for them. But they're definitely not as good as they used to be. But looking at the teams to keep an eye out for,
Who are the four favourites?
Basically, the favourites are going to be Spain, France, England are always there, but they never obviously win it. Spain, France, England, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Germany. That, like, nobody else outside of that is probably going to win. You can always get an outsider that might get to a semi-final. So 4 years ago, it was Morocco.
Right.
In 2018, it was Croatia who actually got to the final. France beat them. There is always one of those teams that can get it, but rarely they win it. So Argentina, the champions. South American teams could do well because the climate is going to be an issue here. It's going to be absolutely roasting. It's going to be so hot here that they have basically broken the game up into four quarters. We obviously we play two halves, but they're going to have designated water breaks. And even that is annoying some football fans, where it's like you're turning it into American football where you're four quarters, but they need the water breaks because it's going to be so hot. But there's actually going to be ad breaks in terms of broadcasting during these,
so that's part of it.
Money is there to be made,
yeah.
And you better believe that they're going to try and make money off everything in this, and even things like you're not allowed to bring in reusable water bottles anymore. See that lovely water bottle you have beside you?
Stanley Cup
thing. You wouldn't be allowed to bring that in, would you?
Okay.
They want you buying in there for ridiculous money.
So Tanya, now that you're equipped with all of that info, who are you supporting now?
I mean, I love an underdog, right? So whatever this year's Morocco or Croatia is going to be my babies. Do you know that kind of way? I'm just really sad now that I'm not going to be able to sit there going, oh, it's a game of two halves now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say.
They were very clinical up front. Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but I just know it's a great statement.
The game of two halves, I know it technically.
Yeah.
It's true, but it's not true. It's like, it's all gone wrong now. It's a game of four quarters.
Yeah. Have you any other one-liners for us like that?
I think you referenced, Tanya, the offside rule. Like, the offside rule now is very much, like, a lot of people don't understand the offside rule because it's got so complicated that such and such is standing in a position, but they're not interfering with play. But then you referenced Jimmy Greaves or St. and Greasy. Jimmy Greaves used to always say, if you're on the pitch, you're interfering with play. But look, there is a lot of different...
I'm absolutely using that line. Yeah. Oh, that's my line now.
Yeah.
Right, you can take that one now. And I loved the St. and Greasy reference as well. What a show that was as well.
Who were you supporting?
I always loved Brazil because when you watched the World Cup growing up, we didn't see that much of the Brazilian footballers. Mm. Now, a lot of them are based in Europe now, so we are more familiar with them. So they used to turn up every 4 years, and I loved their yellow, bright kit, and their fans brought all the colour. And then they were just amazing footballers. They were skillful, but they're just not as good as they used to be. They haven't won it since 2002. They have Carlo Ancelotti, who is a legendary Italian manager in charge I would love to see them win it. As I said,
I'll support Brazil, so would
absolutely.
You.
And yeah. there's a big Brazilian population in Ireland as well. So I would think if you want to have a watch along for a Brazil match, I'd say if you found a place where it was full of Brazilian fans, that would be the crack.
When are Brazil playing?
Brazil are playing actually, their first game is this weekend, 11 o'clock Saturday night. Prime, like, you know, if you're out on a Saturday night, they're playing Morocco. That is going to be one of, that's probably the game I'm looking forward to most over the next few days. Like, obviously, you're going to watch tonight, Mexico, South Africa.
Sorry, what time?
Tonight is 8 o'clock kickoff. You've got the opening ceremony beforehand. Shakira and Burna Boy are going to perform.
Right. Now I'm into it.
And, you know, Diana Ross famously took a penalty for the 94 World Cup before, as part of their opening ceremony. It was all part of the act. She was meant to knock it into the goal and the goal would split, but she missed. She missed from 12 yards. There was no goalkeeper. She was wearing high heels.
Yeah.
So not easy. I've never taken a penalty in high heels myself.
Yeah.
But she missed. So look, they'll have something planned for this evening, and like the showbiz element will be excellent. But as I said, the thing to look out for is, you know, the fact that it's going to be on for 39 days. You've got your 12 groups of four. The ticket prices have been something that's brought up. Like, it's very expensive over there. Even like trains to matches, the prices have gone up. So I know we're not there. Ireland didn't qualify. And I tell you, if we were, it would have cost you an absolute fortune.
Yeah.
And look, people would say those experiences are priceless.
Once in a lifetime.
The final is going to be in New Jersey on the 19th of July. That's what we're building up to.
Yeah. And even I know this isn't a great, that's on the same day as the All-Ireland Hurling Final.
And the Open Championship, the final day. So imagine Rory McIlroy or Shane Lowry is in the mix for the Open. And then you have the hurling final, and then you have the World Cup final. That is...
be a big sporting day for me, that. Yeah. No doubt about it. Where will you go to watch the game tonight, Tanya, or will you bother?
Oh, I think I'll be watching it at home now. I have to sort out my itinerary now for the World Cup pub going. But right now I will be at home because I will be babysitting my child. There won't be. Yeah, I'm only back from a 2 week holiday as well, so I haven't got my head in the game at all. So you know,
some of the kickoff times are really awkward. You were talking about FOMO. I know there's 3 o'clock games, 3 a.m.
Oh Jesus!
And get up at 5 a.m. for work every morning. But I know, like, there's going to be a part in my brain that wakes me up at 3 a.m. going, what are you doing still in bed? There's a game on. Get up.
There's a game on, really.
Get up.
And that's where you and I differ wildly, Phil. Yeah. Phil Egan, Tanya Sweeney, thanks a million to you both for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.